Muni Rabbosai, our limud of halacha every day is a zchus for the refuah shleima of Yosef Dov ben Chayla v'soich shoach holy Yisrael b'korav. So what we've established till now, legaba meleches yom tov, is that we have assays. We have an assay of Shabbosain of resting, an assay of mikra kodesh, which tells me that there was a mitzvah of oineg yom tov, b'ksus, b'achilo, uvishsio, plus the mitzvah of kiddush. That's on the positive side. On the negative side, we have the love of lo yisase melocho. They are not allowed to do work on Yom Tov, and therefore it looks like Shabbos. The only thing is that on Shabbos there is ki kol hoyse melocho yumos, that there is a punishment. There is a punishment of misa on Shabbos, which we don't have on Yom Tov. And vibalt, there's only a love of malchus. Therefore, there is no, that's b'mezit, is malchus, and b'shoigeg, there is no punishment, there's no punishment b'day odom. Okay, now comes the question of, so what are their, where did Chazal find the heterim? Where did Chazal find that Yom Tov should be different, that certain things should be mutter on Yom Tov? There are two mekoyros. One mekoyro is, which is the lesser mekoyro if you like, it says kol meleches avoido loy sasu. By Yom Tov it says kol meleches avoido. And Chazal understood that there's a difference between meleches avoido and meleches tanug. Meleches avoido is work that you do in order to make a living. And that could be any type of work. It could be any type, it could be all sorts of things that one does in order in a normal weekday. There's a thing called meleches tanug. Meleches tanug means that I'm cooking for myself. I'm preparing food for myself. I'm doing things in order to make Yom Tov nice for myself, in order to be Mekai in the midst of Oynik Yom Tov. So they said, Kol Melechas Avoido Lo Yisasu, but it sounds like there's a different type of Melocha, which isn't Melechas Avoido, which will be Mutter on Yom Tov. The Hainu, then we come to the main Pasuk. The main Pasuk is in Parshas Boy, in Parshas Achodesh, towards the end, and it says about the Yom Tov there, Kol Melocha Lo Yeyoseh Bohem, that you're not allowed to do melocha on Yom Tov. Ach, asher yochel lechol nefesh, hu levado yose lochem, ushmatem es amatzos. That's the posuk. Now we've got to take it apart. Do you remember there was a sign over a shop once upon a time saying, fresh fish sold here? And somebody came in and said, well, it's a funny sign that. Why do you need to have a sign like that up, yeah? If the fish isn't fresh, you wouldn't sell it. Which fish shop sells alte verstinkene fish? Yes, he said, you're right. So he went outside and he removed the word fresh. And then, right? And then the guy came back and he said, it says, now fish sold here. Well, do you think fish is sold round the corner? Fish is sold upstairs, downstairs, next door? Fish is sold here. It's pretty obvious. You don't need to put a sign over the shop saying sold here. He said, you're right. So he crossed out the word here. And now all we've got is fish sold. Yeah. Then he came in and he said, what, do you think this is some sort of a gemach, or it's some sort of a soup kitchen or something that you give away the fish for free? Of course the fish is sold. If you go to a fishmonger, you expect to pay for it. Yeah? So he said, fine, I'll cross out the word sold. Now he's left with the word fish only. Are we okay? And now we're left with the word fish only. Yeah? And then he says, do you need a sign over a fish shop? He said, in order to say that you're selling fish when you can smell it a mile away. And the guy said, you're right. So he took it down and we left with nothing. So Rabbi Yisai, that's how you have to analyze the posuk. Ach ha-sheyoche l'chol nefesh hu levado yoseh lochem, ushmatim esamatzos. We will take the posuk apart, letter by letter and word by word, and we'll find our heterim for cooking and preparing food on Yom Tov.
Started at Torah Way, Northwest London, Wednesday, Tes Zion Iyar, 31st of the Omer, 14th of May, Rin Arav, Ramez Zev Rafakot Shlita, Megillus Rosh Series, Perek Base. This week's Torah been sponsored in Nishmas, Morris Chaya, Sora, Bas, Rav Yitzchok, Isaac, Aliyah Shalom, Riskos Hashwem, Vahachoylin, Vamilchomo, Shachzul Botem, Shalom, Bim Heiro.
Amen. I've been asked to speak about Perek Beis in Megillas Rus. And looking through the Peirik and looking through the whole Megillah Shus, there seems to be a theme that emerges as you go through Peirik Beis and as you read through the Megillah. And I'd like to introduce it with an idea. Shteit haposuk in Tehillim. Sholach choyshech vayachshich. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent darkness and it darkened. This is David HaMelech. This is the posuk in Tehillim describing makas choyshech. Sholach choyshech vayachshich. V'loy moru es dvoroi. And they did not rebel against his words. What does the beginning of the posuk have anything to do with the end of the posuk? What does the end of the posuk have anything to do with the beginning of the posuk? What does it mean they didn't rebel his words? So there's a vote that has, so I don't know who says, I can't remember who says it, that Klal Yisrael were told during Makas Choshek. What did Klal Yisrael do during the Makas Choshek? No? Oh, they went into the Mitzrayim's houses and they looked to see where they keep all their gold and silver. And then, before they left Eretz to Eretz, before they left Mitzrayim, they went to the Mitzrayim and they said, please, can you give us your gold and silver? Mitzri said, I don't have any gold and silver. He says, yes, you do. He says, yeah, it's hidden over there. It's hidden under the bed. It's hidden over there. And they knew where it was. During Makas Choshech, it says that nobody could move. The Mitzrayim couldn't move. They were stuck in place. It was the easiest time to take the gold and silver. They could have taken the gold and silver then. Why did they take the gold and silver during Makas Choshech? Because Hashem told them that when you go out of Mitzrayim, you take the gold. You don't take the gold and silver now. So they showed restraint. They showed ipuk. They held themselves back from taking the gold and silver, even though you'd think, as soon as they've been freed from the slavery, they've got free reign now. And the Mitzrayim can't do anything to them. They're stuck in darkness. No, they showed restraint. Sholach choyshech vayashchish. They never went, they never rebelled against the words of Moshe, who said in the name of Hashem that they take the gold and silver when they leave Mitzrayim, but not during Makas Choshech. So they showed that respect. That's Veloy Moru Es Devoroi. Here we see a dugma of the middah of Ipuk, the middah of self-control, and the middah of restraint. And I'd like to build up on this and this idea on this theme. The Novi describes in Shmuel, we describe the battle that Shaul stood to fight with the Plishtim. And Shmuel says to Shaul HaMelech, he says, you're to bring Korbonos, I want you to be Makar Korbonos, but don't do anything. Don't do anything, this is before the battle. Don't do anything until I come back in 7 days' time. I'll be back in 7 days' time. Once I'm back, then I'll tell you what to do. I'll give you instructions. And this is the first war with the Plishtim. Shaul HaMelech is facing. And the Plishtim have an army. They have 30,000 chariots. And they've got 6,000 horse riders. And as the Pasuk says, they've got Am Kechoil Asher Al Sfas Hayom. They've got soldiers, foot soldiers, numbering as many as the sand that's on the banks of the river. Of the sea. And Klal Yisrael has an army. And they're waiting to fight this huge, giant army of the Plishtim. And a day passes. And another day passes. And it's already day seven. And it's already the afternoon. It's already the late afternoon. And Shmuel is not back yet. And Am Yisrael, Ro'u Kitzarloi, Klal Yisrael saw that Shaul was getting stressed, that he was getting nervous. Where's Shaul? Where's he coming? The sun is beginning to set. This is in the Gilgal. And Klal Yisrael, they feel that tension of Shaul. They feel the hidden stress of Shaul. And it demoralizes the army. And the Pasuk says that they started hiding. Vayifetz ha'om ha'olav. They started scattering. Vayischabu ha'om b'ma'orois u'bachuchim u'basloim u'vatzrichim u'vaboyrois. They crossed the Yarden and they ran away to Eretz God and to Eretz Gilod. And Shaul HaMelech is left with about 600 men. And he's getting more and more and more stressed at the situation. He's got 600 men facing an army of Am Kechol Asher Asfas Ayom. Vayomer Shaul, Shaul finally cracks. And he says, Agishu Eilai Ha'oilo Ve'ashlomim Vayal Ha'oilo. He's Makar of the Oilo. Vehine Shmuel Bo. And Shmuel comes. And Shmuel says to him, what did you do? I told you to wait till I come back. You didn't show that restraint, that self-control. What's expected from Shaul, who's a melech, is Malchus. And what is Malchus? Malchus is a person who's Moishel and Moilich primarily on himself. If he's Moilich on himself, he can be Moilich on others and on Klal Yisrael. So Shaul seemed to lack that quality. Hagam, how can we speak about Shaul? Shaul was a tzaddik yisod olam, a great man. But on a dakas dika level, he showed that he lacked that malchus, and memela, the leadership was passed over to David HaMelech. But let's describe David HaMelech in contrast. David HaMelech is also battling, about to battle the Plishtim. And he asks the Rabbeinu Shloilom of how he should, what tactics he should use, battle tactics. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him he should circle round to the ear. He shouldn't go face on. He should circle to the rear. And he should approach them opposite the mulberry bushes, mulberry trees. And he says, don't make a move until you hear the battle cry of the enemy of the Plishtim. And the Yalkut Shimoni describes what happened as the Plishtim were coming towards them. The Plishtim, says the Yalkut Shimoni, the Plishtim were merely, they were 4 amos away from him. How much is 4 amos? Let's talk Sheikh Hazanish. No, go Sheikh Hazanish. We're talking about what? 2 meters 40, if you go with Hazanish. If you go with the Rechaim, no, it's 2 meters. Let's be large, 2 meters 40. You can see the red in the eyes of the enemy. You can see the pupils of their eyes. And he still, David HaMelech does not budge. And Klal Yisrael say to him, we've got to make a move. We'll be slaughtered if we don't make a move. And he says, I'm sorry. The Rabbeinu Shloim told me not to make a move until I hear the trees shaking, the mulberry trees shaking from the oncoming Plishtim. Until then, I can't make a move. And they said, but we'll be killed, we'll be slaughtered. And David HaMelech said the following, Mutav nomu zakoim, veloy nomu srishoim. El ani ve'atem nitlei neinu, el HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was David HaMelech. Such restraint and such self-control in the face of impending doom. He showed that unbelievable self-restraint and self-control, Malchus. That, in contrast, is the Malchus of David HaMelech. And here, he was able to be Moilech on others. Here we contrast David and Shaul. Eliyov was the older brother of David HaMelech. And Shmuel, when Shmuel comes to, he was told to go to Yishai's house and anoint a king. And he's going through each child. And he sees Eliyov. And Eliyov has all the character traits and all the trappings of Malchus, seemingly, theoretically. And Shmuel sees him and he says, oh, ach neged Hashem u'mashichoy, this is the anointed one of Hashem. And the Rebbeinu Shmuel says to him, no, al tabit el marehu, don't look at his imposing figure, vel goy vakom yosoy, ki mi istiyu. By the others, it doesn't say that. By the others, it says, lo bocha beze Hashem, this is not the one Hashem chose. But by Eliyov, it says, al tabit el marehu vel goy vakom yosoy, which means, seemingly, he did have the qualities, but mi istiyu, he's been pushed away. Why? Because he had the qualities. But when he did show a lack of self-control, mi'istihu, he lost the position, he lost the Malchus. And it went to David HaMelech. Nebuchadnezzar, when he looked for the young teenagers, the servants, to be in his palace, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, Daniel, what was the condition, one of the conditions he needed? And this, if you sometimes go to museums, to old manor houses or old palaces and castles, you see the instructions given to servants in the palaces or in these houses, in the aristocratic houses. One of the things of the servants is that they are to not to show any emotion on their faces as to what's going on amongst the aristocrats. They have to refrain from laughing. They have to show absolute self-control, just like the Queen's Guard outside the palace. Well, wherever they see, they're not allowed to smile, they're not allowed to laugh, they're not allowed to make any facial responses. Und auf dem steht, Teule Eretz al Belimo. Was steht Teule Eretz al Belimo? Poshmisha Teule Eretz al Belimo, Akush Baruch Hu hangs the world on nothing. Yeah, the world stands in the middle of is not sitting on a table. The world is in space. Toyle Eretz al Belimo, or a play on the words Toyle Eretz al Belimo. The Welt steht al Belimo, on a person who's boiling himself, on a person who can control himself, who can show restraint and self control. And this beemes, this lack of this midi is what led to the. To the eagle. Vayar ho'om ki boishesh Moshe loredes minahor. Klal Yisrael see that Moshe Rabbeinu is boishesh. He's delaying in coming down from the mountain. What happened? Ki boishesh Moshe loredes chazal darshan. Ki beshesh. They miscalculated the timing. They thought that Moshe Rabbeinu was meant to come down already. They misunderstood the time that he was meant to come down, and they see he's not coming. No, they haven't got patience. There's no patience today. Today, we want to receive a response. So we send a message to somebody, why aren't you responding yet? I can see two blue ticks. Why haven't you responded yet? So the message has to go all the way up to the satellite, up in heaven, and the message has to come down again and reach me. Well, we can do that in a second. I have to wait. I haven't got savlanut. And the Sultan got the opportunity and he showed them a mito of Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't know what's happened. And they showed, so wait a bit. Savlanut, a bit of patience, self-restraint. Let's wait and see what happens. Most things get solved by waiting. Nu, hechochom einov beroishoy, veaksil bechoyshech choylech, zok de choyze fun leblin, beseide, hechochom einov beroishoy, veaksil bechoyshech choylech. So the fool walks in darkness. Nu, what does the chochom do in darkness? What's to tell? You know what he does? Einov choylech, he doesn't go, he just waits. So wait and see what happens. If it's dark and you can't see, you don't want to fall over the cliff. So you wait, mevat. But Klal Yisrael were impulsive. They didn't show restraint. Vayashkimu mimacharos. The next morning, they're up and about already early in the morning. And the Rabbeinu Shem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Leich Rei, do you know why? Because you know what the Aveira, the Nekuda Sachet of Chet HaEgel was? Soru mahir min haderech, says the Rabbeinu Shem. They were sore, they fablonged from the beaten path because mahir, soru mahir, because they were rushed. They didn't show that self-control, that slowly but surely, have a mesunim badin. And Aaron trying to counteract, seeing that this is the middah that was missing, this is what was lacking, what was Aaron's solution? Let's try and see if we can delay things. Let's see if we can slow them down so they have time to be misyashiv, so they have that, find that peace of mind. And Aaron said, Chag Lashem Mocho, tomorrow we'll make a Chag Lashem. He tried to slow them down a bit to see if they can build that self-restraint, that self-control, that they'll be able to think it through and try and rationalize and see that they're going wrong. Koirach, the same thing. Moshe Rabbeinu used the same tactic of delaying tactics to try and create that restraint and that self-control. And he said, Boiker v'yoida Hashem es asher loy. Let's wait till in the morning. Let's wait in the morning and see. And by the Maraglim, we see the same chisoron. Vayivko ha'om, balaylo ahu. On that night they cried. They didn't wait till the morning. You know what? Lomashlof and Abisal, let's sleep on it, clear our heads, and tomorrow we'll think if there is a problem or there isn't a problem, what to do. No, no, no. They cried. And that night was which night in the year? The night of Tisha B'Av. This is the chisoron of showing that lack of, that is chisoron in Malchus. So do avot from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Yaakov Kamenetsky says that the Mishkan is called Mishkan Ha'edus. Why is it called Mishkan Ha'edus? Because it's an Edus Shakarish Bolchu was Moichel on the Egel. Why is Mishkan Ha'edus showing it's a Mishkan Ha'edus? Because it shows the Rebbeinu was Moichel Al Chet Egel. What's the Shaychus? What's the Kesher? Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, when was the Mishkan built? The Chanukas, the Mishkan, when was it built? When did they finish building the Mishkan? Chanukah, Chofei Kislev. When was it first used? When was the Chanukah, Pesach, Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Which means that even though it was ready to move in, they could have used it already Chanukah time. Yet they waited. Kislev, Teves, Shvat, Ador. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, you know why Mishkan, it's called Mishkan HaEdus, because an Edus HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Moichel Al Mechet, because the lesson for Klal Yisrael was to show self-control, to show restraint, to show Savlonus, to show Malchus. And this is how, this is what leads us to Malchus Beis David, to Megillas Rus. Because as Yaakov Avinu said, Reuven Bechoyri Ato, Yeser Se'es, the Yeser Ois. The Emes is Reuven should have been Zoicha to Malchus. He should have been Zoicha to be the manik, the leader. And which means Reuven means Shevet Reuven. Because Yeser Se'es, you're foremost in rank. I.e., you should have the kahuna. Yeser Ois, you're foremost in power also. I.e., you should have Malchus also. Both Malchus and kahuna. But you lost it. Because pachas kamayim al toisach. You were impetuous. You were impulsive, like water. You didn't show that self-restraint, that self-control, that malchus, that midas hahishtavus. And so you lose it. No, so who should it go to next after Reuven? Shimon or Levi? Shimon v'Levi achim klei chomos mechor yoseim. They also acted impulsively. They also... You shouldn't. No. A person has to show that ipuk, has to be in total, absolute self-control. And therefore, who gets it? Yehuda gets it. Because Yehuda's the one who's got the true trappings of Malchus. And the emes is the Kohanim. Interesting, when a Kohen has to get divorced, don't do a normal get. What get do we do by a kohen? A get mekusher. Why a get mekusher? What's a get mekusher? Each, you fold each line, you sew it, you fold each line. Why? Oi, because this way it takes an inordinate amount of time. We don't want the kohen to get divorced. Why? Because a kohen can't marry a grusha. So we try and delay. We delay and we delay so that hopefully he has time to be misyashiv aladovo. And also kohanim is rizim heim. Beteva, the teva of a kohen is kohanim is rizim heim. So maybe he's decided to get divorced. Maybe he's been impulsive on this decision. Lamazel, let's see. There's a gavaldike meiser. Gavaldike meiser that I saw. The Frankel Rambam. So the story goes that Pshapsi Frankel, after many, many years, he tried he managed to acquire a ksaviad, certain ksaviad of the Rambam, which he'd been trying desperately to get hold of many, many years. He managed to buy it for $750,000. And he was sitting on his table. And I don't know if I've got the details of the story exact, but the secretary came into the room. He showed him the Rambam and he was sitting there with a coffee. And by mistake, he knocks the coffee. Yeah. Knocks the coffee. I'm reminded of this story because of today. But you'll see a gewaldike limud from what we saw today. Gewaldike limud. By the way, you worked, you were mechanach with Mashveh together. Mashvetels used to say, Kaveh Yal Hashem. A coffee, Kaveh Yal Hashem. Always reminds us to look up and hope for Hashem, for the Rebbeinu Shlomo. So the coffee, he knocks the coffee by mistake and it spills. It spills. We have here also, we have a Talmud Chacham here, it's spilled. But here, he spilled the coffee on the Ksav Yad worth $750,000. Uyvei, you can imagine. Shabbos Frankel gets up and he says, Uyvei, your coffee spilled. Let me go make you another coffee. That's Malchus. Thus, that is Malchus. The Alter von Slabodka, we went with Mispalim of the Shul. Last 2 days, we went to Litta, we went to Slabodka. The Alter von Slabodka was a dogma of that Malchus. I mean, if you look at the picture of the Alter von Slabodka, you see the Malchus on him. They say, the Zok, that Alter von Slabodka, when he was old, he had trouble with his eyes. Why did he have trouble with his eyes? Because the Alter had such self-control of himself that not only would he not move his head without having a reason to do so, he never turned his neck if he didn't have a reason to do so. His head stayed forward. But even his eyes, in his eye sockets, he wouldn't move left or right if there wasn't a specific reason to do so. So his eyes always faced forward unless he had a reason to do so. As an elderly person, he had trouble with his eyes because of that, because he didn't move his eye muscles enough. That is the Gewaldiker self-control. But I recently saw a Meiser about the Alter von Slabodka. The Alter von Slabodka, he was Gewaldiker Mechanech. Each bocher he molded. And he knew how to keep a cheshbon of exactly how, measured exactly how to react and what to say to each bocher. Sometimes thinking years ahead or years backwards. And apparently the Aliyas in Slabodka, who decided who gets an aliyah, not the Gabba, but the Alter von Slabodka would give instructions as to who gets which bocher, who gets the aliyah. And it depends on what he did and how he did, and if the Alter wanted to send him a message, Devoch bakum tera shvi nishkan shlishi, nishkan shishi. Now, the kviyus generally was that the secretary of the yeshiva used to get shlishi. And 1 week, he instructs the Gabba that he should call the secretary of yeshiva not for shlishi, but zolongem chamishi. So the secretary understood he must have done something wrong that week. So he came, he said, why didn't I get the shlishi? Why the chamishi? He says, you've got tainus, why? You've got chamishi, not shlishi. He says, you don't remember what you did 10 years ago? Yeah, 10 years ago. 10 years ago, there was a bocha came into yeshiva Shabbos morning and he started lifting up his sleeve. He was half asleep, he didn't realize it was Shabbos morning, lifts up his sleeve to put on his tefillin. So I motioned that you should go over to him and remind him it's Shabbos today. But I noticed that you had a little half smile on your face because it was amusing. He's lifting up his sleeve. You don't remember you did that 10 years ago? And now you've got tainus that I give you a chamishi? So the Alter von Slabodka waited 10 years to tell him off. 10 years he waited to tell the secretary off for this maisa that he did. Thus, Rabboisai, is Gewaldike Malchus. So let's look now a little bit. Chazal tell us, Motzotzi David Avdi. I found my servant David. Where did the Rebbeinu Shlom find David HaMelech? Bezdoi Motzotzi. And as we know that David HaMelech emerges from the Meiser of Loit and his daughters, and then further down the line from the Meiser of Yehuda and Tamar, and ultimately, from Boaz and Rus. And in Sforim state that Boaz and Rus were masakein the pgam that had emanated from Loit, Ubnoisov, and the pgam of Yehuda and Tamar. Now, when you look at face value, the pgam of Loit Ubnoisov is evidently clear. It's a father and his daughters. You can't get something that pgam that's more moles than that. And Yehuda and Tamar. But if you go down to the root of it, what you do see is, in a sense, a lack of self-control, a lack of restraint. Because, yes, ultimately, the Lloyd's daughters, they were concerned that the world would be destroyed. But there's a rush. There's a rush to solve the problem. Let's see. Let's wait. Maybe tomorrow we'll learn something new. And they show that lack of self-restraint. And Yehuda and Tom are the same thing. There was, in a sense, there was an impulsiveness there. But when it comes to Perik Beis, and you look through the Perik, and this theme emerges, that Rus was in no rush, and neither was Boaz in any rush, to solve their problem. Rus, who could have got involved with any of the Na'orim that were in the field, or with anybody else, she understood that she is destined to bring out Gadlus and to bring out the ultimate Geula. And that ultimate Geula can take generations and years. And she held back and she showed that restraint. And Avada, that night when she went to the Goyren and she lay down and covered his feet, where Boaz showed unbelievable restraint and Ruth showed unbelievable self-control. And they waited and waited in order that they could ultimately bring about Malchus based Ovid in the correct fashion, in the way that it's meant to be and how it should be shown. I want to finish off with a Maisa that I believe I heard over here in this Beis HaMedrash from Reb Osher Weiss when he was being maspid Rabban Leib Steinman. And I finish off with this little story which he said over here. I don't know if anybody can remember what story I'm referring to. He said the following Maisa. He said that he went with Rabban Leib Steinman and the Gerer Rebbe when they went to America all those years back. And they went traveling and he accompanied them as a sort of translator, because Reb Osher Weiss speaks English. And so when the Gerer Rebbe spoke or Rabban Leib spoke, he was there at the top table to translate what they said. And he said he was witness to a phenomenal, phenomenal thing that happened. This was in a time when what they called the Gzeiras Gius was in its infancy then, and there were those who claimed that Rabban Leib was pro Gius, which wasn't even true. It was Stam making up stories. And Rabban Leib was sitting at the top on the top table there. Next to him was a Ger Rebbe. Reb Osher Weiss was also there. And suddenly there's a fellow who jumps up, stands, and pokes his face right in front of Rabban Leib, and he says to him, "Bistan Oicher Yisrael, Oicher Yisrael." No, Chab Rechmonas of them Yid, Chab Rechmonas of him. Oicher Achar Temoisi, you've sullied me, you've dirted me. You're an Oicher Yisrael. And Reb Osher Weiss turns, he wants to see what Rabban Leib's reaction would be. No, let's do a multiple choice here. What was Rabban Leib's response?
Nothing.
Nothing. Loikon veloizomi menu. His face showed absolutely not even a tiny response. Nothing. Boshet, blank. Midas haishtavus, Reb Osher Weiss said. Unbelievable self-control, unbelievable malchus. By whom do we see that? By Mordechai Tzadik. Haman, it says, loikon veloizomi menu. Not only did he not bow to Haman, but he didn't even flinch, nothing. He didn't even squirm in his seat, nothing. Gornisht. Midas haishtavus, that's unbelievable self-control, restraint. And that is malchus. And if David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, and ultimately Mashiach ben David emanates from Rus and Boaz, it's because they had that gewaldige Kemido of Malchus. They had that gewaldige Kemido of self-control. May we take lesson from that, and we should meet Hashem be zoiche to see Mashiach ben David b'mheirev yomeinu. Amen.
Tonight?
Yeah, sorry.